hey, remind me to do something in the service. Just say, hey, and then I'll know. We're in the part two of our series of Not a Fan. There's a book that we're looking at by Kyle Eidelman. We're kind of taking our cue from there. If you've got your sermon notes, there's kind of the four things we're going to be looking at today. If you have a Bible on your table, you might want to take it out because we'll be kind of going all through it. You know, I kind of get in little things, like when I got into Prezi's and I was doing those every week. Well, now I'm into writing in my Bible and just getting all the way through there. So it's okay to write in your Bible. If the Bible that you picked up isn't yours and you don't have one, write your name in it. Now it's yours. That's our gift to you. We're going to be looking, our main verse we'll be looking at is in Luke. Luke 9. I'm going to start somewhere else, somewhere a little more familiar. Last week was our first week, and we talked about the difference between a fan and a follower of Jesus. And that a fan is somebody that knows about Jesus. But a follower is someone who knows Jesus and is known by Jesus. And kind of like with our favorite athletes or our favorite celebrities or a favorite entertainer, that we might know a lot about them, even though we don't know them. And that's being a fan, but being a follower is being known by God. It's being having a relationship with Him. And fans know about Jesus, followers know Jesus. And it's not that fans don't want a relationship with Jesus. It's just they want a relationship with Him on their terms. The real question we have to ask, when we look at today, is what kind of relationship does Jesus want to have with us? That's what matters. Now, John 3:16, that's a verse a lot of us know real well. In fact, I could probably say part of it, and you could probably finish it for me. For God so loved the
world
that He
gave
His only begotten
Son,
that whoever will believe it, and believe you have different versions, and him shall not but have
everlasting
or eternal life. Yeah. And you hear it, you see it, you go to a ball game, somebody's holding a big placard that says John 3:16, and it's nice, right? You know, God loves us, He died for us, we can have eternal life through Him. That's great. But one thing, a placard, or you know, sign you don't see held up a lot at a game is Luke 9:23. This is also the words of Jesus. And in Luke 9:23, Jesus kind of describes the kind of relationship He wants to have with us. And He says, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Now you see, I know when He holds that one up at a game, that's a little bit more demanding, a little more harsh. And we're going to look at that in the four parts in there. If you look where it says, if anyone, then come after Me, deny himself, and then take up his cross. We'll look at all those. But, you know, John 3:16 and Luke 9:23 have to go together in order there to be an appropriate understanding of the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. John 3:16 emphasizes believing. Luke 9:23 focuses on following and coming after Him. And so we're going to look at that verse because it just describes the kind of relationship Jesus wants us to have. First of all, it says, if anyone, anyone means everyone. When you see anyone, it means everyone. And a lot of people might think, no, not after what I've done. He wouldn't want me to follow Him. I wouldn't make the cut. That's just for the morally perfect or close to perfect. And a lot of people feel that way. In fact, if any of His closest followers felt that way, it was probably Matthew. Matthew has another name we know him by. His name is Levi. That was the name his parents gave him. And it probably indicates that they wanted him to follow God and serve God like the Levites in the Old Testament did. And that he was going to grow up sort of in the church and serving in the church. And then somewhere along the way, something went wrong. And he's basically turned his back on his own people, and he's become a tax collector for the Romans. Now, why is that so bad? Tax collectors, though, the Romans came in and they conquer, but they were really interested in taking over culture. Like the Greeks, when they came in, they Hellenized the culture and they knew how to speak Greek and eat Greek food and Greek art and all that. Romans just wanted land and money. They just wanted the money. Just pay your taxes and you can worship God however you want. Just don't cause trouble and pay your taxes. And so they would even just take the locals to collect the taxes. They would bid it out, let's say for Nazareth or something. It's, people would bid. How much can you bring in? Somebody might say, I bring in $50,000 for Nazareth. They didn't use dollars. But anyway, they would say something like that, and the person who had the best bid would get the contract. But then anything that they could collect over that amount, over the $50,000, they would keep for themselves. So they were trying to extract, maybe cheat, you know, as much as they could, because they would get to keep this was extra. So not only were they serving the enemy of Israel, Rome, but they're also cheating their own people. So the tax collectors were basically, he fell really short of his parents' expectations. And you and me, we have a lot in common with Matthew. You know, maybe you're not stealing money from your neighbors, but we've all become disappointments. We've all not measured up. We've all not made the cut in some way or another. The Romans 6 talks about all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We all do things that are not up to our own standards, let alone God. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. And what's happening here was Jesus invites Matthew to follow him. It's clear that the invitation was extended not just solely to the religious elite, not just the morally upright, those that have their lives together. It's not just for those who have no stains on them, no marks on their record. It's anybody, anyone can follow. It's kind of like when you go out to a car lot and you say, anyone can buy a car here, and there's like a little asterisk, and then at the bottom it says, asterisk says WAC, with approved credit, right? Anyone can buy with approved credit, right? And so, but for Jesus, there was no asterisk. Anyone means everyone. Jesus invited anyone to follow him, but a lot of times in churches, someone comes into church and it feels like there is an asterisk. We get the not-so-subtle message that is that we have to let you in here because Jesus told us to, but we're going to be keeping an eye on you because we think there's something amiss. And we put our own little asterisk there. I want you to turn to Matthew 9:9, see what Jesus said about this. Matthew 9:9. He just came up to Matthew and said, follow me. And it says Matthew got up and followed him. So you've got Jesus sitting here at his little tax collector's booth, and he's mulling over this offer of the rabbi that comes up, and he knows what it means. He knows that it means and understood that it meant he's going to give up everything. And saying yes to Jesus was going to mean saying no to his lucrative business at the time. And anyone can follow, but not without giving up everything. In Matthew 4:9, he says, follow me. And he simply says that Matthew got up and followed him. Now these days, people don't know Matthew as a failure, an embarrassment, who sold his soul to the Romans for a job. We know Matthew as a follower of Jesus, who wrote the first book of the New Testament. The grace of God doesn't simply invite us to follow, it teaches us how to follow. When Matthew got to follow, he wasn't just all of a sudden perfect, and everything in his life was just great all the time. And it's the same thing with us. When we follow Jesus, we continue to need his grace for the journey along the way. And there are plenty of days when I find myself living more as a fan than as a follower. But every morning I receive the same grace-filled invitation that Matthew got, that Jesus spoke to him, follow me. Let's go back there to Luke 9:23 and look at the next phrase in there after it talks about anyone. And that's when he says, if anyone would come after me, to come after. And that phrase, to come after, is most closely associated with in the context of a romantic relationship. So that's the best way to understand what Jesus is expecting from us as followers. is to compare how we pursue him to how we pursue someone that we want to have a romantic relationship with. And it's a pursuit that some of you know can sometimes easily consume our thoughts, our resources, and our energy. And that's what Jesus is looking for from a follower when he says to come after. You know, so much of our art, our books, poetry, almost every song revolves around this theme. You know, there's so many love songs, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, or, I don't know, probably a number of you remember Meatloaf, right? I Will Do Anything for Love. And he kind of talks about the number, the how far he would go for love. And he said, I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. And I never really figured out what that was that he wouldn't do. I'm not sure if that wasn't, you know, he wouldn't, share the remote, put down the toilet seat, or change his name from Meatloaf so she didn't have to be Mrs. Meatloaf. I don't know. But I know that he would do a lot for love. He wouldn't do that. He'd go right into hell and back. I could tell you several stories about how I pursued Amy. I wrote her 5 letters a week one summer. I made videos. I made mixtapes. Remember mixtapes? Yeah. I made mixtapes. I wrote her raps. I cashed in every penny that I made from summer jobs to buy her engagement ring. I made her balloon animals. I helped her babysit. I did everything I could to, you know, I spent so much energy pursuing her, so much time trying to win her heart, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But, you know, looking back on my relationship with Christ, I don't have